Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship this morning.
Sing I know. Thank you. Turn your
Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Well, good morning. Man, I feel like singing that song, we should all be swaying. It's just like, it's good to be in the presence of God, to lift up his name in praise, and to know that we are secure in his presence. God is good. Amen? Could I have the children come on down? If your age is 3 through 10, I think it is, grade 3 through 5, or grade 1 through 5, and grade age 3 to 5, come on down, and we're going to bless you as we usually do, just to kind of gather you around, pray a blessing over you as you continue to worship downstairs. I invite the leaders to come down as well. And then I'd like to extend a special invitation to Esther. Esther, just come on up front and center, please. Do I dare invite Graham up? Okay, excellent. Graham. So this, Esther has been our kids' church director for the past 2 years. And she is making a few changes in her life. She just graduated from university, and she'll be getting married in the middle of July. And there you go. And then moving on to Edmonton. And I didn't mean for anybody to make comments about that. All right. This is her fiancé, Graham Waukee. And wow, excellent. How do you feel now? Esther, we just want to extend a great thank you to you. You've done an amazing job rebuilding our kids' church ministry after the pandemic. Your commitment, dedication to the work here, just your presence has been such a blessing. And we wanted to thank you, and on behalf of the congregation, to just give you a gift to say thank you as well. And we just want to extend a blessing to you, both of you as well. And so kids, I'm going to ask you, so normally we ask the congregation to extend a hand of blessing upon you, and we're going to do that as well today, but I'm going to invite all of these kids also to extend a hand of blessing upon Esther and Graham as we pray for them as well. So just hold out your hand like that, all right, and the rest of the congregation, let's pray together. Almighty God, we give you all our praise. We exalt your name. We worship you because you are a great God. Thank you, God, that you reveal yourself to us. You reveal yourself in small ways, in big ways. You reveal yourself to big people. You reveal yourself to little people. And God, we just give you all the glory. So we pray for a blessing upon Esther and Graham. We pray, God, that you will continue to walk with them, encourage them in all of these exciting changes in their life. Thank you, God, for the work that Esther has done here, participating in ministry at New Life Church. And God, we pray that you will continue to walk with them, encourage them, and equip them to serve you in everything that they're doing. God, we pray for a blessing on all of these children. We pray that as they head on down to continue to worship you, that you may touch their lives in special ways, that they may know your love, that they may know that you are their Savior and the master of their lives, and we give you all the praise. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, kids age 3 to 5, you can go out that door, and if you're in grade 1 through 5, you can go and follow Esther out that door.
morning, everyone. My name is Tyler, and we just want to extend a special happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
Yay!
And I'm Sam. I'm the tech director and associate to Faith Formation Ministries here, and we're your hosts this morning.
So first thing we want to do is to welcome all our guests. It's great to see the building so full this morning. If you are a guest and you want to get more connected with New Life, you can look for a Connect card, which will be in the seat in front of you. If you fill that out and bring it to the info booth in the foyer after the service, you can exchange it for a New Life gift bag, and that'll have a bag of coffee beans from Honduras and a New Life tumbler. And if you're joining us online, we ask that you would just drop a comment sharing where you're from and who you're watching with.
We have three tables in the foyer this morning we want you to check out. The first one is Lost and Found. It's been there for a few weeks, but today's the last day. And after today, everything left will be donated. So take a minute after the service to check if any of your belongings are still there.
Table number two is, you might have noticed when you walked in, there's two Bibles on there. So these are the Bibles that we're going to give to Kendra and Aiden, who are doing their profession of faith later in the service. We invite you just to go to those Bibles to underline your favorite verse and to write a note of encouragement in there for them.
And the third table is the Father's Day coffee bar. As a treat on Father's Day, we want to bless all the men with a specialty cold brew coffee, or if you don't drink coffee, there's also chai tea lattes. So if you missed it on your way in, you can grab one on your way out.
We're moving into our fellowship time and offering. You can give your offering in these boxes on either side of the stage. You can also give it electronically, as you can see on the slide behind me. Today's offering is for the Benevolent Fund. This is a fund administered by the deacons. The money that they get, they give out to people who have financial or physical needs, and they also give to families paying Christian school tuition. So join me as we pray for that offering. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, and we just pray that you would multiply all the funds that come in to the offering today. We thank you, God, for our deacons, and we pray that you would bless them with wisdom on how to distribute these funds, and that the people that need it would receive the money. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Every service, we have a 3-minute fellowship time, and this is your chance to bring your offering down, grab a coffee, and meet someone new. So we encourage you to take this 3 minutes to step out of your comfort zone, greet someone that maybe you don't recognize, and if you need help, an icebreaker question is, what was a value you appreciated about your own father? Thanks for having us. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Take a seat, please. Wonderful. Well, so today is a special day. It's New Member Sunday, but we don't have a whole crowd of new members. I suppose that would be nice as well. But I'd like to invite three people up. Gideon Bransma and Kendra and Aiden. Kendra DeWolde and Aiden Bransma. Just to quickly introduce you. So there's going to be a little bit of back and forth here and so on. All right, yes. So New Member Sunday, we're going to be talking about belonging and so on. And front and center right here is Gideon Bransma. Gideon graduated from university, is now a nurse at Abbey Regional Hospital. And so he's got a friend group here. And is transferring from Living Hope. Nothing wrong with Living Hope, Christian Reformed Church. Just that this is where he found a place to belong. And so he's becoming a member here at New Life Church. We're delighted, and we want to extend a warm welcome to you, Gid. And pray that, we can be a blessing to you, but also that you can be a blessing to us. And so welcome, welcome. Indeed. All right. Look at that. Clap of the hand and you belong. That's it. All right. You're going to be hearing some more from Aiden Bransma and Kendra DeWolde. And Kendra's going to be going first, but why don't you just take a seat? Because I want to tell a story to kind of introduce this whole sense of belonging to us. I told you it was going to be back and forth. All right. So you're familiar probably with the movie Toy Story. And it's been a while since I watched it. But there's two characters. There's Woody. He's the cowboy toy. And then there's Buzz Lightyear. He's the astronaut, superhero or space hero or whatever. And so in that movie, somewhere along the line, they're fighting, Woody and Buzz Lightyear. They're fighting, and Woody's kind of fed up with Buzz, and then he says, "You're not a space ranger. You're an action figure. You're a child's plaything." And suddenly Buzz realizes, after he finds out he can't really fly, he's like, "Oh, I'm just a stupid, insignificant child's plaything," and he's so dejected, he's disillusioned, he's just grief-stricken. Then sometime later, Woody tries to make it up to Buzz. I think they're caught, there's some kind of moving scene and so on, they're caught, and then Woody says to him, "Look, Buzz, you must not be thinking clearly. Look over in that house. There's a kid who thinks you're the greatest, and it's not because you're a space ranger. It's because you're his. It's because you're his." And then a little later, Buzz Lightyear, I don't know how he does it, but he folds his foot up. And then at the bottom of his shoe is written the name of the boy who owns him, the name of the boy who plays with him, the name of the boy to whom Buzz Lightyear belongs. It's written Andy, right? And that's when Buzz Lightyear remembers that he belongs. And seeing that image of the name, I don't know if he can read or not, but he recognizes, and he breaks into a smile, and he takes on this new determination and frees Woody, and all is well. All because he's assured that he belongs. And so in some way, As Kendra and Aiden give their testimony this morning, I not only want you to listen to their testimony, wonderful testimonies, but I want you to think that today is the day they recognize that, well, whether it's written on the bottom of their shoe or whether it's written on their forehead, they're recognizing that God has claimed them. God has written his name on them so that they belong to him. And today they're saying, wow, I belong to Jesus. And as a result, they're going to renew their sense of calling to serve God in everything they do. You'll hear that in their testimonies this morning. So Kendra, I want to invite you up and to give your testimony.
Hey, hi everybody. My name is Kendra Woldy. So 18 years ago, I was born into a pretty awesome Christian family. I've grown up attending, well, this church, going to a Christian school, going to GEMS and youth and all those things. And God has always been a constant in my life. Now, growing up, I was always talking and always asking questions. And as I got older, this desire to learn everything I could about the world stayed with me, but for some reason, the older I got, the less I questioned my faith. And that maybe sounds like a good thing, but for a long time, I just didn't dig deeper into what it meant to be a follower of Christ. I just didn't really have any desire to know more about God, and I was content with my faith being a constant, like a comfortable constant in the background of my life. And while it never faltered, it also never grew. Now, God knows I have always been a people person, so when I started to become more curious about my faith around the age of 15, God showed his hand by placing people in my life who helped me grow. One of the first places I can think of where this started to happen was the summer of 2021 before my grade 11 year. Now, I had a job on a farm with my old youth leader, Esther, and spending 40 hours a week weed whacking with one person will really bring two people close together. And having an opportunity to spend long hours with somebody who was like a mentor to me gave me the chance to start asking the questions that were starting to burn on my heart and kind of puzzle through my walk with God. This desire to know more about God continued, and around February of 2022, I joined a Bible study group with some of my close friends, surrounding myself with girls my own age at similar stages in their faith walk, and then having an opportunity to dig deeper into the Word of God and to just ask all the questions I wanted was just so amazing. I'm so thankful for our leader, Carla, for guiding us through all of those discussions, and she just provided the most incredible insight and wisdom into all of the questions that we had for her. I can't even begin to describe the impact those weekly sessions had and the routine they had on consistently strengthening my faith. Now, I also see God in my best friend every day. She's had so many hard things thrown at her, and I sometimes think to myself, how are you still standing? How are you not completely and utterly defeated? And yet every time I see her, she has a smile on her face and her arms open wide, and I'm just constantly in awe of how she reflects God in all that she does, and she pushes me to grow in my faith every day. I also had a coworker who recently committed her life to Christ. Now, the pure excitement she had afterwards was just infectious. Her passion for God was so evident in everything that she did and in every word that she said. It was the best way I can describe it is that it was almost childlike in its wonder and in its joy. And now, even though I've grown up in a church and in a family and a school where God is present everywhere, I don't think I've ever seen this pure joy for God so visible in every aspect of somebody's life. Part of why my faith didn't grow for so long was because I kind of treated it like a chore and like a background thing. But seeing somebody so full of wonder and just excitement for God made me reexamine my own attitude towards my faith. But I think the experience that has impacted my faith walk more than anything else was my 2023 trip to Nicaragua. I could go on and on and on about all the ways I saw God work on this trip and the impact that the global church, my team, and Centro de Fe had on my faith. But one of the most impactful moments for me was worshiping together with the students at Centro de Fe, singing Spanish and English lyrics together to the song Waymaker. I remember just completely breaking down during this worship, and I was pretty close this morning when we were singing that same song during worship here, and was just so struck by the realization of how all-encompassing God and his love are for me. Now, I think part of the reason I didn't ask questions or dig deeper into my faith for so many years was because I was afraid. I've never dealt with failure all that well, and the thought of admitting that there was something I could never fully comprehend was maybe a little bit intimidating. But standing there in that school in Nicaragua, surrounded by so much joy and love and emotion, I found the last of that attitude pretty much just dissolving. The fact that there is a God who is more greater and more powerful than I could ever imagine isn't intimidating to me anymore. It's a comfort. Because that same God who works in churches in Nicaragua and in Abbotsford at the same time is the same God who loves me more than I can comprehend. I spent too many years not caring enough to deepen my faith, maybe even being afraid to. I don't know what plans God has in store for me, but I don't plan on spending any more time letting him exist in the background of my life. And I can't wait to see where his plans for me lead. Thank you.
Wow. Good job. Well done. Yes. Wow. So if you came here this morning and you said, oh, yeah, it's just church and, you know, whatever, I'll just do the stuff. Let this testimony awaken you to the excitement of living for Jesus. Thank you, Kendra. Thank you. I'd like to invite Esther to extend a verse of blessing for Kendra.
Kendra, it is an honor to see you stand here today and to be someone that's got to hear about your life throughout our weekly coffee dates and working with you and many, many hours weed eating. But the verse that I want to share with you is Zephaniah 3:17. It says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." For those of you who don't know Kendra, and I'm sure you could even just share here while she was sharing her testimony, Kendra radiates joy wherever she goes. And I can just imagine God just singing over her and rejoicing and delighting over her. And even just her sharing her testimony of her being in Nicaragua and singing with people and realizing that God just delights over her with that much excitement. Is such a testament to really, truly how much God loves you. And I think that I just want you to hold on to this verse as you move forward to your next adventures. That you would just remember all the time that God fully delights in who you are.
Awesome. Yay. All right. Aiden.
Hi, my name is Aiden Bransma, and I was adopted into a Christian home from birth and have been blessed with the opportunity to grow up in church. Family has always had the biggest impact in my life and shaped me into the person who I am today. I have four brothers, and we have grown up playing sports together, camping, and just spending a lot of time together. My parents have loved and supported me unconditionally, although at times I try their patience. I have a very large extended family, as you can see, and on both sides, and they all have modeled what it means to walk with God. I would characterize my home as a place that is filled with love and laughter. When I was young, my faith was based solely off my parents. I was always a kid to ask deep questions about faith and was content with the answers my mom gave. I accepted God was real and just believed. As I grew older, I wrestled more with what Christianity meant to me. COVID and being separated from my Christian community was a challenge. I struggled in my faith and started taking things for granted, especially family. Being stuck together at home, I fell into bad patterns of hiding away and putting up walls around myself. Even through these times, God was reaching out to me. I've always been connected to our family's home group. When we were cut off during COVID, we gathered in our barn for church. I was surrounded by people who lived and walked their faith. These people also supported our family through a scary experience. Last summer, while camping with the home group, my dad choked, and this caused his heartbeat to accelerate and then drop very low. He collapsed in the campsite, and with the help of everyone, we rushed him to the hospital. Normally we camp at Cultus, but this last summer we changed it up and we camped at Hope, and we ended up only being 2 minutes away from the hospital. That's just a cool way God worked. My brother Caleb, he stayed the night with my dad, and the home group stayed with us and prayed. In the morning, we got the good news that he was released, and he was doing much better, and he ended up not having heart problems up until last week when he decided to chase a sheep. So, But I realized when I felt helpless and God was the only one to turn to, I realized how much I needed him. This February, I went on my first missions trip to the Philippines. I was nervous and felt very underqualified. I saw God's hand work in many different ways. We visited a community of lepers, and I was struck by how joyful they remained despite being ostracized by their own families. We spent a week in a remote village that took a jeepney, ferry, canoe, and a lot of walking to get to. The things that impacted me most were seeing prayers answered instantly, people with next to nothing willing to give us what they had, and just talking with boys my age growing up in the village. My eyes were open to God in new ways. Returning home, I had a much stronger faith and had already made the decision to take a gap year and go to YWAM Kona. I have lots of growing to do, but I believe Jesus is my Savior, and I want to live my life to glorify him and build his kingdom. Thank you.
Well done, man. Excellent. So you got a lot of family over there, but take a look. This is all family today, right? Yeah. You belong. All right. Wonderful. So, Jacob, you're going to bless Aiden with a verse.
Mind if I take the stand?
Sure.
So the verse that I was praying about and ended up settling on is Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the name of the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like the feet of a deer. He will make me walk on the heights. So the reason I chose this verse is because in you I see a man who is sold out for the Lord. I see someone who is equipped by God to face whatever is ahead, and I see a man that God will absolutely use. This verse will serve as a reminder of what I and many of us here see in you. And when you share that in the Philippines your faith grew, it was like night and day. The person who left and the person who came back were dramatically changed. You came back and you were so excited to talking about prayers being instantly answered and the people that you met and the things that you'll never forget coming out of that. It was so encouraging, coming from the grade 8 boy that I met 5 years ago who wouldn't listen to a word I would say and would climb up the scaffolding to run away from me, to the person here now. It's truly quite a blessing for me to be able to walk with you and to watch you walk on your own, really, in a lot of these instances. So,
all right. So, well, thank you. Thank you for sharing a testimony of your faith, of your growing to love Jesus. And it takes courage to do that, right? And so we appreciate it. And I hope it encourages all of us as well to examine our own faith as we recall the commitments that we have made. And so we're going to invite you also to make commitments as you grab a hold of God's promises, God's promise to love you, God's promise to save you. Then we invite you to make your promises back to God. And so answering with I do, or I do God helping me, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And will you commit yourself to strengthening and deepening your relationship with God through regular worship, through Bible reading, and through prayer? And will you strive with God's help to live a life of personal purity and relational integrity And will you allow us as a church family to help you keep these commitments to Jesus and his church? Kendra, what is your answer? And Aiden, what is your answer?
I do. God helping me.
All right. You heard it. You heard the commitments they've made. Congregation, do you also commit to journey with Kendra and Aiden, journey alongside of them, come alongside of them, encourage them, pray for them, and bless them in their walk with Jesus? What is your answer? Wow. Awesome. Kendra, here you go. Here you go. Memorial of the certificate. I'd like to invite family and friends to crowd the stage at this time, because it's going to be a crowd. So, sure. Yep. All right. So, somebody on one side, somebody on another, and come on down and surround these young people. Yeah, just stand over here. How about right here? There we go. I love these times. I always wonder if everybody's going to come down. Don't worry, you don't have to feel lonely if you're not coming down. This is just a testimony of the commitments that we make together and the family of God that gathers together. So, beautiful. All right, let's join together in prayer. Yeah. God, we praise you today for Aiden Bransma. We praise you for Kendra DeWolde. God, we rejoice in the goodness that you have shown to them as they have grown up in their life, as they have through family, through parents, through friends, through various experiences, come to know your love. God, thank you for revealing yourself to them. Thank you for drawing them close to you. Thank you for writing your name on their hearts and minds to say, you belong to me. Thank you, God, for the faith that you have given them by the power of your Spirit. Faith and trust to say, God loves me and I belong to God. And so, God, as the family of God here together, hearing their testimony, we pray, Father, that you will equip them by your Spirit to stay faithful and to always eagerly seek your love, your grace, your mercy in their lives, so that their life can be a celebration of your goodness and your faithfulness to them and to all the people you love. God, we pray that you will equip them with gifts and talents and abilities to serve you and to serve your kingdom. God, we pray that you will give them sensitivity to draw others to you, that you will give them a sense of compassion and mercy that they have experienced in their own life, to extend that to the people around them, to their friends, to their family members, and to people that they will meet. And God, we pray that as they move into new directions, Aiden on to YWAM next year and Kendra on to university, God, we pray that you will encourage them, that you will continue to draw them close to you in the midst of good times, in the midst of times of difficulty, in the midst of scary times, or even in times of comfortableness and routine. God, help them not to forget the commitments that they've made this day. And by your Spirit, God, we pray that you will continually draw them ever closer to you, and that they may be a testimony of your goodness, of your love in all that they do, in all that they say, and in all that they are and become. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. You may go back to your seats. Awesome, you bet. Wonderful. Well, hey, I just want to end and close off this service with just a few comments of that kind of belonging that this is that we've celebrated here, a belonging that for both Aiden and Kendra have arisen out of their family context, a place where they belong. But then also as they move into the life of the church, also to recognize that that's where they belong, to recognize the name that has been written on their heart, the name of Jesus. In the beginning of John's gospel, John records something of what it means to belong to Jesus. And it's from the first chapter of John, and there's this time where in John's gospel, sorry if this gets a little confusing, he's talking about a different John, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist has gone around preaching, has been baptizing. A few weeks ago we referred to that John the Baptist was this kind of fiery preacher that attracted crowds of people. And John the Baptist, being a kind of recluse, nevertheless became very popular, and people just crowded to him. And so John had a following of people, including Andrew and another disciple, quite likely the writer of the Gospel of John, John the Beloved. And they were following John the Baptist around. And suddenly John the Baptist one day says, "Hey, look over there, guys. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then in the gospel, it has this strange recording of the next event that happened. Andrew and this other disciple, likely John the Beloved, just up and leave. They leave John the Baptist. As popular and as comfortable as Andrew and the other disciple were following John the Baptist, they simply up and leave, and they begin to follow the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the one who saves. It's remarkable. Suddenly, they just switch gears, which in the first place means then that to belong to Jesus is about being able to let go. Letting go of seeking to be popular, letting go of whatever has made you comfortable in life, letting go in order to follow the Lamb of God, which to us, perhaps because we read it out of the Bible, just feels like just a comfortable thing. Lamb of God. Oh, that's just a nice reference to Jesus. But in the context of Jewish history, that would have been a messy thing. It would have been a tremendously messy thing. Lamb of God meant a sacrifice with, but blood and guts everywhere. It's messy. To belong to Jesus isn't just to settle down into a cozy life. For Kendra and Aiden, they're moving on to new things. And that could get scary. It could get messy. It could be even confusing at times to go, "I don't know what I'm doing." To belong to Jesus is about learning to let go of what's comfortable and even what's popular, and to say, "I belong to Jesus." In the second place, I think to belong to Jesus also is very personal. Because in this passage in John chapter 1, I would encourage you to read it at home. I'm not going to take the time to read it now. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35 on through verse 42. Just a short little passage. And in that passage is this kind of funny scenario where if you are aware of how Jewish culture worked, they had rabbis. Rabbis were like the pastors, but more than just the pastor, they were leaders in the community that if you decided to be a student of theirs, a follower of theirs, right, then presumably you would learn all of their wisdom and all of their knowledge, and then you also could become a leader in the community. But how it worked usually was this way. A rabbi would walk around town, having established his reputation as this great leader in the community, and young men, it was always young men, they would follow the rabbi and hope to get noticed, and then at some point come to the rabbi and ask the rabbi, could we be one of your disciples? Now, here in John's gospel, we get two disciples, originally of John the Baptist, who start following Jesus. They're following Jesus, and they're following Jesus, and I'm imagining they just don't have enough courage, probably because they don't have the credentials to ask this this Jesus, who was an up-and-coming rabbi. He had established his reputation. They just don't have the courage to come up to Jesus and go, we'd like to be your disciples. Instead, they just keep following Jesus somewhat timidly until Jesus turns around and says, what do you guys want? Jesus is the one who invites them into his rabbiship. Right? And then the disciples, they kind of sheepishly go, we just want to know where you live. No, they don't. They want to be disciples of Jesus, but they don't dare say it. Right? And so Jesus says, come to my home. Come and meet me in my presence, in the place where I live. It's deeply personal. This isn't just a matter of joining a club where you sign on the dotted line and then a piece of paper tells you that you belong. To belong to Jesus is deeply personal. So that when Kendra and Aiden make their commitment to Jesus, it's Jesus who invites them into his life to say, come. Follow me. Come. I'm the God of the universe, but you can enter into my presence. You can enter into my life. That's, folks, that's a stunning thing that you and I are invited into the presence of God and that God says, you belong to me. It's deeply personal. It's a very intimate thing. It's about a relationship with Jesus. This isn't just a matter of bureaucracy where, you say, oh, well, there's an agreement between this organization of New Life Church and myself that, well, you know, it'll be kind of a mutual thing. No, it's deeply personal to belong to Jesus. And so for Kendra and Aiden, keep nurturing that relationship. To all of us, keep nurturing that relationship with Jesus, because he keeps inviting you into his life so that you can live out of his life to be a testimony of God's love in this world. The third thing that I want to say, the final thing that I want to say, is that to belong to Jesus is to be changed. To belong to Jesus is to be changed. Andrew and this other disciple, likely John the Beloved, Andrew and John, they're following Jesus. They experience this wonderful invitation into a relationship with the greatest rabbi ever to enter on earth, the Savior of the world. They enter into a relationship with the Savior of the world. And Andrew is so overwhelmed, he's like, other people have to know about this. And so he goes to his brother, Simon. And Simon goes, oh, I want to find out about this. And so he comes to Jesus, and immediately Jesus says, ah, Simon, son of John. Maybe he knew the family, right? But it's an indication that Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. You are Simon, son of John. I know all about you. So do we, actually. We know Simon, Peter, the way he's known. Simon Peter was, he talked a lot, but he was a coward. Talked big. Simon he liked to make himself look good. But he was pretty unimpressive when it came to actual performance of following his rabbi. In fact, it would turn out that in the end, this Simon would betray his rabbi, the master of his life. And yet, though Jesus knew this, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, your name now is Peter, which means rock. Rock. This lousy disciple that shifted around so that you could never nail him down, Jesus calls him the rock. And then later on, Jesus says in another gospel, upon this rock I will build my church. To belong to Jesus means that your life is changed. Not based on how clever you are, not based on whether you have the smarts to change your life, but simply because by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus changes your life. For Kendra, for Aiden, today, their life is changed. For any one of us, as we make our commitments or renew our commitments, your life is changed. You are a new person in Jesus Christ because you belong to Him. I want us to sing together and to sing this song of confession. Of the amazing things we believe. A song of our faith. Faith that we profess, not because we're smart enough to profess it, but simply by the mercy and love of God, He draws us into this faith so that we can commit our lives to Him. Let's stand and sing together. Yeah. Amen. Hey. Wow. So maybe the first thing you need to do when you get home is to write on the bottom of your shoe, Jesus, so that you can remind yourself this week when things go awry, when things don't go your way, you can lift up your shoe and say, oh yeah, I belong to Jesus. It's powerful. And so receive this blessing as you go from this place to serve Him and to enjoy life in Jesus. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may He equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.